got what Girl Gang founder Amy Will. This is Dream Big. Hey everybody, welcome to my show, Dream Big. I'm so excited to have Amy Will on my show. She has founded multiple companies and has been a successful entrepreneur. And I thought it'd be great to have her here on my show today to talk about resilience and how you could pivot and bounce back during this crazy time of COVID. Amy, thank you so much for coming on my show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Now, Amy has a podcast as well called Girl Gang. I just recently recorded it so you guys could hear it on her channel. And the conversations we have is completely different than what we're having today. It's more of my story. But I thought it'd be great to chat with Amy today about how she started her career as an entrepreneur, how she's been able to build multiple successful companies, and how she is pivoting during this crazy, crazy time of COVID. But so much uncertainty, Amy, like, how are you doing?
Oh my gosh, I am definitely focusing on being grounded in the present, releasing the concept of control, and yeah, just trying to keep my head on straight. But it's definitely wild. I mean, especially we're getting close to that 1 year mark. So it's been a roller coaster, but I feel a balance at this moment, which feels good.
So Amy, I don't know if you feel this, but this week, something about this week, I've been really out of it. And I know I've had many weeks in the last year where I felt this way, but something about this week was hard for me. I don't know if energetically something's going on in the whole world, because everybody who I was talking to was like, hey, I just feel so weird this week. I can't get out of bed. I feel really tired. There was a day I had 4 cups of coffee and it still was not working.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny you say that. I feel the same way. I was just, I did a Clubhouse a couple days ago. It wasn't even that late. And I needed to have a Celsius, which is like a zero sugar energy drink for anyone that doesn't know. And I used to live above Sprouts in Hollywood, so I'd have them all the time. I haven't touched one since the pandemic, 'cause I'm just like not trying to stay up late and grind. It's, you know, not good for the mental health, but I literally to do a Clubhouse at, it was like 8 PM. I was like, I'm going to pass out right now. I need a energy drink. I'm 32. This is crazy. So yeah, I definitely feel that a lot of conversations, I completely agree with you. And I've actually reflected on it a little bit the last couple days. You know, I felt myself like sleeping in a little bit more. And I think it's just this thing of, you know, there was a lot of expectation, like new year, we're going to put everything behind us. And there has been a lot of positive change. But when you think about it, we're like entering the middle of February. So I feel like there's kind of this, like, I don't know, this fear to be optimistic and hopeful and think about the future, because we're like in 2021 now. It's not like New Year's, everything goes away. Like, this year has been crazy. So I think, yeah, I'm just trying to be really easy on myself and set up a schedule that fits that, like, kind of tired and less energetic frequency that I'm on right now.
So that's a good point about how to be resilient. Is there is going to be days you're not feeling 100%. And I think a secret of mine is to give into that and not fight it. It's okay. And I think we come from a world of pre-COVID of like, go, 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 till, like, you know, you're sick, keep going, you know, and there is no sick days. And I think with this time now, if you have a day where you're just not feeling right, it's okay. It's okay to sleep in a little bit more than usual. It's okay, because I feel like more than ever now, you need to have your energy at 100%. And if you're not at 100%, it's going to have some other types of side effects. And what I'm talking about with that is when you're pushing yourself at a place where you're not mentally like in a good place, I feel like there's going to be side effects to you in that way. Don't you feel like I pushed myself the launch of Diana Madison Beauty so hard, and I was like really happy and proud of it, but I didn't take any moment to take a breath. And mind you, the kids are home, so that's a lot in itself. And Saturday, one little thing happened with my husband and I had a breakdown. Like, I had a full on breakdown, and I didn't understand why, because I was like, wait, I got this. Like, why did I just have this breakdown? But I think it just adds up. It's a domino effect, right? You come to the point where your body just can't handle the stress. Something as simple of constantly being in the fear of my kids catching COVID. Like, this is a daily stress I have, but I don't realize that it adds on to all the other stresses that I'm carrying during the day. So coming from that point, I think you said it right. Like there's days where you're going to like want to sleep in more. It's okay. Do it. You know, unless obviously you don't have to be somewhere at that time. Like you don't have a Zoom meeting at 9, but I just feel like it's okay. We come from a world where you reprimand yourself for that. And I think now it's okay for that. What is the definition of resilience? If you're wondering, it's the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. Don't you feel like nowadays to be resilient, you have to be, like you said earlier, grounded in a good place, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I think that everything is built on the foundation we create. And so we spend a lot of time trying to fix, you know, the mess that's up top without going deep and doing the inner work to fix the foundation. I feel like that is where the success, happiness, less anxiety, finding your purpose, all that has to do with the foundation, but to chip away at it can be exhausting. So I completely agree with that.
I have never spent so much time working on my inner self than and the more you work on it, I realize there's a lot of healing I need to be doing. A lot of healing throughout the last, like, I don't know, 15 years that I never thought I needed to heal from. But I think as tough as this time is, it's beautiful, like, healing in order to be able to move forward without carrying on so much baggage from the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we get that it's still enough for us to do that. Just like you're saying, I think that, I mean, I've been on that journey too and tried to take this time to be like, okay, there's a lot that I've taken on to distract myself from dealing with things that have happened in my personal life, from dealing with grief. And so I always knew it, but it's different to know, like, I just want to stay busy. And instead of doing negative things, I'd rather start more businesses. I'd rather hang out with like really inspiring people. I'd rather go to every panel. I want to stay up late reading. Like, I just want to do it all instead of deal with the thing. Like, it's one thing to acknowledge and say like, that is what is happening. But then once you don't do it, you realize how much work can be done if you allow the stillness and don't take on more and just like live in that void. It's like almost like you have to let your mind get quiet enough to listen to it to understand what's actually wrong. Like, you don't really know. And so that's what I've been trying to do too. It's just like, I mean, this is why not work on ourselves right now? And I think another positive about doing the self-work right now is that it's definitely at the forefront of conversation. So maybe people with, you know, that might have been embarrassed or intimidated to talk about like, hey, these are feelings I'm having, like as a grown-up, like I want to talk about my feelings. It's kind of intimidating depending on who your network is. And so I think now it's at the forefront of a lot of podcasts, conversations, we see it on social media. And so it's just kind of encouraging people to say like, you're not alone. If you want to work on yourself, it's not a bad thing. Like, I'm working on myself too. So that's kind of the lens I'm trying to look at the world right now.
Oh, you just said it so beautifully right now. It's so true. And I'm going to be honest, like I'm having a tough time lately and I'm trying to work on it daily. There's days where I have to do a meditation maybe 2 to 3 times. And it might not be long. It could be a 5-minute each time, but I just need it. I need that pick me up to get me going. Cause you know, I am a extrovert. I like to be around people and yes, I do the meetings on like Zoom. And right now we're doing this podcast. I could see you, but it's just not the same. I want to hug you. I want to feel you. I want to smell people. So look, and I'm dealing with it. Learning myself how to adjust and just go with the flow, which is something like you mentioned earlier, let go of the control. I struggle with that. I struggle with going with the flow because I like to micromanage and control everything. So definitely a lesson we're all learning right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have founded multiple companies. You have the Girl Gang podcast. You started your career at age, what, like 24?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10 years ago. Tell me the story.
So it started, I grew up, my father and grandpa had started a business. They had a commercial real estate company when I was younger. And my mom was a scientist. Just subconsciously, I loved the idea of just the hustle and the grind and the conversations they would talk about, I thought were really cool. And they both had like well-balanced lives overall. So I thought it was really cool to go chase after that deal and go into the office on Saturday, but then like go on vacation for 2 weeks when you want. So kind of subconsciously, I observed how they lived their lives and I knew that I wanted to mimic it in a way. And yeah, it really started. I did 6 internships in college. My first one was video editing at National Lampoon, slowly chipped away at learning about PR and marketing. And I think internships are really great because you also learn what you don't want to do, which is just as valuable. And I really thrived in the space of search engine optimization by the end of college. At the time, I mean, what is this now? It was over a decade ago. So it wasn't super common. Nowadays, I would compare it more to maybe building out like a content marketing strategy. But at the time, search engine optimization and organic, really at its core, you could combine creativity with that, like with the science side of the internet. So by using keywords and building out content, you could get your website higher up in Google. And I just thought the concept of that was really cool. And so I kind of wanted to explore this creative side with like a more analytical side. So I had applied to a bunch of jobs. I had one semester left of college. One of the jobs, literally when I walked in, they were like, do you know what SEO means? I'm like, it was just like such a boys club in the computer science and the SEO world. I was like, why would I apply to a job if I don't know what the acronym means? So I was getting a bit discouraged and I thought, screw it. I'm just going to apply to like 10 jobs that I'm not qualified for at all. And I ended up getting one of them. So that was really what started my entire career and encouraged me to start my own business. Stefan Arstall, which I'll forever thank for giving me a shot. He was the founder of Tower Paddleboards. He built a direct to consumer paddleboard company. At the time, it was all based on like surf shops, marking up for wholesale. He saw the trend online of paddleboards and thought, here's like this gray space that I can go in. So on the job posting, it was like 10 years marketing experience, MBA. I did like to ask my teacher if I could take off the day to drive down to San Diego from Thousand Oaks. And I walked in and he's like, I brought you in purely out of curiosity. Like, what the hell do you think you're doing applying to this? And so I just begged him. I was like, give me a shot. Like, just let's do a 6-month thing. I'll do anything. Like, these other people you're interviewing, they have other lives. Like, this will be my life. And a few weeks after we started, he ended up pitching on Shark Tank, got an investment from Mark Cuban. So at 22, I'm watching this company go from, you know, thousands of dollars of sales to building a 7-figure company and the Shark Tank effect. And I was fortunate enough that he was able to mentor me in starting my first business, which was a white label hair tie company. We made hair ties for Lululemon, Athleta, Sephora. Different companies would come to us to make hair ties with their logo. And I built off of a similar business plan that he did. So it was a custom product. People discovered us by just searching for us. I started it with a $100 Etsy gift card my husband gave me. And that kind of created our whole little empire. And I didn't know at the time I would stumble into entrepreneurship and start multiple companies with my now husband. He was my boyfriend at the time. But just once we started that first one, got a good groove and started creating more products together. I switched from like a small business owner that owns a hair accessories company to now I can like confidently say, I feel like I'm an entrepreneur. I have a lot to offer and, you know, it took 7 years to get to that space.
Wow. That's so beautiful to hear and to see how you overcame so much by being a female in a world that was like run by the boys club, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're in like, what are we? Like we're going into the height of, I don't know, are we in the middle or the end of the pandemic? I don't even know. My question to you is, how have you found this time to like shift your business?
Yeah, I would say the main thing I wanted to do was with Girl Gang, I wanted to dive back into the mission of the brand and make sure we were aligned with like my personal core values and core values that I think need to be at the forefront right now. So what we really did last year, we kind of took, we have a few other e-commerce businesses. And so that kind of run themselves. And we had the ability to kind of just take a 6-month breather for a minute and just reevaluate. Like there was just so much brought to the forefront. I was like, I just want to make sure everything we're doing is good for Mother Earth, that we're representing everyone. Like I kind of just want to refresh. So my biggest pivot, I would say, was diving back into our mission and just going deeper with it. And, I mean, it was interesting. Like right before the pandemic, we built this off of just like one sweatshirt that said support your local girl gang. And then we had gotten a deal with Nordstrom. And fortunately we got to see that through and have it sell through before the pandemic hit. But before it, I was ready to launch into just, you know, go that route. Like that was going to be the business model. I kind of just took a step back. We made the company leaner. It's just my husband and I, we have an art director and a couple freelancers that we use. We just went lean. So we didn't have to have the pressure of making that, that like monthly intense income when you don't really know what tomorrow holds, and then really focused on, driving home. Like, why are we doing this at the end of the day? Like we decided to start our own businesses. Like, what is the why that needs to be louder? So we, I just wanted to like observe others for a while. And then we really just started back up a few months ago.
How's it been so far?
It's been good. I think that, I love the direct to consumer model. I just think it's more foolproof. Especially we talked about this on, our podcast. I know that you believe this too, but I love, smaller amounts of SKUs, just keeping a leaner, smarter business model. And so I think especially after getting the Nordstrom order, I was really excited to just go super hard, make a bunch of stuff, get it as many places as I can. And this definitely encouraged me to go back to why I started it all. Like, let's work smart. Let's not just work hard. And let's, smaller SKUs and making intentional products, you're not creating waste. Like, what materials are you making the clothing out of? Like, are you going to buy 10,000 to try to get them in stores and just like kind of sit on this dead inventory? So it's been nice getting back to the direct to consumer model and really enhancing it. We are doing some more retail partnerships. They're just more intentional that we're doing this year. I just think the D2C model is a really cool space. And I encourage anyone that has a business or is thinking about starting a business, like really explore that leaner business model.
When I launched my beauty product, Lotopia, a year ago, I started with a small amount and then it sold out and I reordered. Like, I didn't want to go in there with like 5-6 products because I didn't know, is it going to be successful or not? And after 1 year, I gave myself a year. I said, I'm going to give myself 1 year to see if this is actually going to work out. And it was a passion project. It's something I felt like I needed. After 1 year, when I saw like the amazing reception the product got, I was like, okay, I'm ready to launch a second product. And even with the second product, I don't start with big orders. I want to see, do people like it? Is it, working? And I do believe with my experience, I rather go small and see what happens and then go big rather than the opposite. I don't want to sit on inventory as well. I don't want to put it on sale to be able to sell it out, right? Because I see a lot of brands doing that. I rather start small and see where it goes from here. I wasn't like that before because I was running a digital media studios and it was like, put as many content as you can and put it as fast as you can. This company with Diana Madison Beauty is so different and it's more about like quality versus quantity. So I think with every business you're in, it's important to study like what the business is and what it takes for you to put it out there. And I know we talked about this on your podcast. If you want to be a social media influencer and be a TikToker, content is key and put it as fast as possible is key. If you have a product, like if your product is put out there and it's like cheaply made and it's not good, you're not going to have people come back. And the biggest reward for me is when I'm getting messages now being like, Diana, I didn't expect number two to be so good. It's amazing. It's really helping my skin. And I was like, oh my God, I did my job. Because I was scared. I have a lot of doubts. Is this going to work out? Are people going to like it? I like it, but are people going to like it? So I think the biggest reward is when people like it. And it took me 1 year to put out this second product. So I think if you're listening right now and you have a company or a side project and you want to, launch it and you're confused, do I do it? Do I not do it? My best advice is like, go and do it. Jump in, even if you don't know how to do it, but start small. At least start small, it's safer. Like you said, you've gone leaner, you're not like investing so much money where it turns out to be a debt. And then you're just like, wait, how am I going to like take care of this? How am I going to fix this? So that's the way I see it. Now that you are re-strategizing, thinking about how you're doing things. What's like the one lesson you've learned that's like something you could share with people that like everybody could apply to their business when it comes to re-strategizing and refocusing during COVID?
I would say if you're building a business or rebranding a business, I think the most important thing about telling your story is don't like make the customer feel like they're being heard. Just listen to the customer. So what do they want? Who are you representing? Make sure you're representing every type of customer that you have. Instead of kind of like trying to force down their throat and like kind of, you know, create really cool copy in your Instagram caption to like make them feel heard, just literally listen to them. Like if you want to, you're thinking about launching a new product, or say you have a clothing company and you want to know like what sweatshirt color you should come out with the next, literally ask them. I feel like it is the most valuable thing. Right. There is people that, I mean, traditionally, people would pay for focus groups. Like nowadays, people are ready to give you their information. They're excited. And then they're more likely to maybe purchase it or be a part of the process. I have one girlfriend that does this so well. Her name's Cassie. She owns a company called Palo Santo Studios. She's one of the most fascinating pivots I've seen during this time. She is like a boutique branding agency and wholesale showroom. And she came out with these Peace on Earth sweatshirts. I'm looking, I have like so many of them in my closet. But what she does is she'll do the sweatshirt and she'll just put on her Instagram story. Hey, here's some samples. Do you guys like this green one or this orange one more? Like, do you want to see sweatpants? And then she follows through. And right. Based on the research she's getting, she releases it and it sells out in 2 minutes. You would think she's doing a sneaker drop that was just promoted on Hypebeast. Like, it works if you listen to people. So it's a win-win. You're creating product people want. You're letting your potential customer in on the process. So I think just like pull down the blinders and spend more time listening to them instead of figuring out how to make them feel heard with captions on an Instagram photo.
You know what? I wouldn't even have the second product, Glowette, if it wasn't for my Instagram community, because they told me to create Glowette, because I kept getting asked like, Glowtopia is working amazing on my face. Can I put it on my body? And I kept getting that message. Can I put this on my body, body, body? So when I heard that, I'm like, wait, people need something for their body. And hence I made the second product, which is a body oil. I probably would have made something else if you like left it to me, you know, I would have made something else, but I kept hearing them say it. I was like, I guess I need to make, you know, I guess I need to make a body oil. I think right now, if you're listening, in 2021, it's all about building your community and not chasing the likes and not chasing the followers, but build the community. And, you know, like I know a lot of people that have 2 million followers and they don't have an engaged community because it's more about like the pictures and the aesthetic, and they're not so in tune to go and buy and support. And then there's people who don't have 2 million followers, only have 100,000 followers, maybe even less than that. And they are doing amazing because their community is devoted, they're engaged, and they're supportive. So I think that's what you want to do. Create a community that supports you. It's like such a beautiful thing when I see people message me. The other day I got a message, someone said, I can't believe how big your kids have gotten. I've been following you since like, you know, your early days where you weren't even married. And I just thought it was so awesome to hear that this person is really invested in my journey. And that makes me so proud and so happy. And I feel like I have an obligation to my followers to give them things that I could use in their life as tools, like this podcast, to help them grow and evolve, because I'm growing and evolving every single day. I don't think I'm that same person as I was when they were following me when I wasn't married, right? So it's just like such a beautiful thing with social media. Of course there's the ups and downs of social media, but I think the beautiful thing is that community that you build. People from like all over the world that you meet, you're like, wait, what? I have followers in France and places that I'm just like, this is so wild. So I think that that's important to build a community. I know you've got a crazy day, but like, what does being resilient mean to you?
Oh man. I would say finding the power within to like look forward to tomorrow, as simple as that. I think that being able to get excited, figuring out what you need to do, not even be excited, like figuring out what you need to do to just get up tomorrow, that is resilience to me. At this moment in time, that is when I feel resilient. Like going to bed ready for tomorrow. So being hopeful, you know, having a plan and just pushing through and not giving up. And on the flip side, I think it can also be just like we talked about in the beginning, allowing that rest, just be true to yourself and figure out what you need to fill your cup. That is resilience right now to me.
You just said it so beautifully, because I mean, I couldn't have said it better. That is being resilient these days, is getting out of bed, being excited for the day. Yesterday, I couldn't get out of bed. This morning, I woke up and it's just such a beautiful day here in LA. And I looked out and I was like, wow, like it's just, it's going to be a good day. I don't know what's going to happen today, but it's going to be a good day. And I feel like that is being resilient for me, because I'm being optimistic. I'm being hopeful, even though you're going to turn on the news and it's just like, it feels like the whole world is, you know, falling upside down. This show is about dreaming big. You've created successful companies, multiple companies at a very young age, a successful podcast. What is dreaming big for you?
Dreaming big, I would say not putting limits on what you are capable of. I mean, I have to put myself in check often, especially being like, I love being a hype woman for others. I love getting lost in people's stories, like consuming so many podcasts and books and like literally watching YouTube videos. Sometimes I think we can escape and forget we are supposed to be the main character in our own life. So I would challenge anyone, like whatever your dreams are in place, just turn it up a notch. There's this, I watch The Office all the time, and there's a part in it where one of the characters, Dwight, he's playing that video game Second Life, and another character, Jim, is teasing him because he's like, okay, in Second Life, where you could be anything, you're like an assistant manager in this, like it's like that is his, like that is his peak, he's not going further. So I don't know, I think we can always do that, just get caught up in our like daily goals, our yearly goals. But to me, I just want to create that quiet time to say, like, what am I really capable of? And finding the balance of knowing yourself and what you're able to do and really being okay and excited about that. And on the flip side, just like, you know, add a zero to your financial goal. Like, why not? Like, add these big accounts you want to get. And then I would say the most important lesson, and what I want to work more on pushing instead of these, just like write it down and bring it into existence. I'm all about actionable manifestation. So do it, but then get ready to do the work. And if you can't show up for a little bit, take a break. It doesn't have to happen tomorrow or in a year or in 10 years. Just, you can create your own life, write out the goals. I challenge you to turn them up a notch. And I also challenge you to be patient with them and like let it happen in its own time.
Oh, that was so beautiful. Yes. So. I loved it. Where can everybody find you?
So you can follow me personally. I'm at Mrs. Won on Instagram. My name is Amy Wills. So just the opposite of that. And please follow along Girl Gang at Girl Gang The Label, and let me know any female creatives that inspire you. If you own your own business, we will share it. DM us. And you can also reach me via email at amy@girlgangthelabel.com.
I love that. Amy, thank you so much for coming on my show. I had a blast doing your show, and I can't wait to meet you one day.
Yes, I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
No problem, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Have a good day.